So 2 Kings chapter 7, and beginning to read at verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. They save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go into the to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, "I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive. Get into the city." Amen. Well, this is a story that I'm sure is familiar to us, that Samaria is besieged, and we have the Lord's people there in the city, and Syria has come and is encamped outside the city, and the Lord's people are there inside, and they're struggling. They're having a difficult time in the city because they're running out of food. They're running out of everything. It says that a small amount of something is selling for a large amount of money. Some people say it's dove's dung. Other people say that it's some kind of seed. But things are in such short supply that everything is becoming very, very difficult. They're eating babies, which is such a horrific thing. But such is the depravity of the situation that they're in. They're all on the verge of dying. A donkey's head is selling for a vast amount of money. They're struggling. They're near to death in the city. And that's what we need to grasp. The people in the city are near to death because the enemy are encamped and the situation seems desperate. And so we have four leprous men who wait at the gate of the city. And we know that if someone has leprosy, it's very contagious. And here they, according to the law that God gave them via Moses, they couldn't have contact with people. Leprous people had to be separate. And these people had something wrong with them. And so they had to be outside the gate. They couldn't be in the city with all the other people. And they were there outside the gate. And they weren't going to suffer at the hands of the enemy, really, because the enemy are not going to do much to four leprous men. And so here they are. They're saying, "Well, what are we going to do? If we stay here, we're going to die. Let's at least go to the enemy and see if they will help us, see if they'll give us something to eat. Because the worst that can happen to us is that we die." So these four leprous men decide to go out to the camp of the enemy. And as they go, they find that the enemy has run away. Something has happened and they've run away, but they've left everything. They even leave the horses, which always puzzles me, because you'd have thought they'd get on the horses to run away as quickly as possible. But they even leave the horses. They leave everything there in their camp and run away. And if you imagine it, how the lepers are, and they've been hungry and they've had nothing, they have become poor through their leprosy, no doubt. And here there's a whole camp full of food and drink, the best clothes, silver, gold, the horses, everything is there. And they say, well, in effect, what riches we found. This is incredible. Let's enjoy all that there is here. So they eat and they drink and they go into a tent and they take it out and they bury the stuff and they go into another tent and they're taking stuff and they think, just a moment, what are we doing? There's the whole city out there that's dying because they have nothing, and then there's this plenty. There's all this that's available. There's more than enough for us. What are we doing? And they say, we do not well this day. This day is a good day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So we may think in the story that the riches that they find in the enemy's camp, we could see, as it were, the good things of God. The riches that are available in Christ, that Christ makes available with us. Not in a sense a perfect analogy, but no analogy is. But here we have the riches that God has, the spiritual riches that God has for us. But it's interesting that the ones who go out and discover this goodness, it's not the king who's in the city, it's not the noblemen. It's not even the prophet who's there in the city, but it's four leprous men. It's the four leprous men who are the ones who discover these incredible riches that are available to them. And there's an incredible lesson in this, that very often it's the people on the edge of society, the people who've got things wrong with them, who first discover the riches of God, the riches that are in Christ. There may be people who think a bit differently. There may be people who've got problems. They're not the people who are just necessarily having successful careers or noble people and high flyers. Some of those do. But very often it's the drug addicts, the people in difficulty, the people who had a messed up past, a messed up childhood, who've got somewhat messed up minds, who are open to the things of God because they are thinking differently. The people who are just in the mainstream, who have never thought outside what's going on, what's just normal, sometimes are slower to get to the things of God. And you find this in 1 Corinthians and end of chapter 1. And says verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base things of the world, and things which are despised had God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. And you see a similar thing in Matthew 21. And Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And Matthew 21 and verse 31. Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. That's tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God before you. He says, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. And so it's very often people who are a little bit off center, bit of people with problems and people who have gone through these things, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, when they get to the Lord, they're going to have a few issues in their minds very often. You know, you get saved and the Lord changes you, but you still have a few bits of baggage. And a lot of people as Christians, we still have baggage. We still have issues. We still have, we still might have things in our personalities. We might be cranky people, or some people are overly emotional, and some people are overly sentimental, and different people have different issues. But very often those people with the issues are the first ones to find the Lord, because somehow God can break through to people who have issues. Because their mind is trying to deal with issues, and they're trying to find a solution. As they try to do that, somehow they find the Lord, and the Lord finds them. And so we find that this is what the church is made up of. It's not made up of these kind of perfect people who have just a perfectly balanced people. You know, it's lovely when you meet people who are perfectly balanced. And they've just got everything under control, and they've got their work under control, they've got their lives under control, and just, you know, the kind of the 2.4 kids kind of family that people used to talk about. And everything is perfectly balanced. They don't get stressed, they've got their work, everything seems to be just so well organized. But often those are not the people that populate the church. And those are the people who are so, as it were, sorted that they don't think they need God. And so we see that this is what the church is made up of. But you see, it didn't take very long for these lepers to realize what they were doing wrong. And they say, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings." And we may look at the church and see how we, as lepers, have come to the Lord, and we've got saved, and we found these riches that are in Christ, and we've come to Him, and we've been satisfied as they went into tents and found food and drink, and they had their hearts satisfied. And we've come in and we've been satisfied, and they found clothes, and we found a robe of righteousness. We found riches. They found those riches that would take care of them for the rest of their lives. And we found one who we've already seen will take care of us throughout our lives. He will provide for us, as well as the spiritual riches that are in Christ Jesus. We have so many good things that we have found in God, and they're all here available to us. But you know, the biggest problem in our country, and has already been touched on it today, is that though we have found these things in Christ, yet we have not gone back and proclaimed it to the world. And the world are the people who need to hear it. And we found these good things. And yet, though it's a day of good tidings, so much of the church is staying inside behind the closed doors, and it's enjoying the good things. It's enjoying the good things of God. But it's never stopped to think, what about the people out there? And I want to say to us today, the fundamental thing for the church is this: what about the people out there? What about the people out there? What about the people out there who don't know about these riches, who don't know that there is a God who loves them, who has died for them, who has prepared good things for them, that they might enjoy them even all the days of their lives? And so they go, they get up and they go, and they make the effort and they go back to the city. And there are these poor people. They are suffering. They're in degradation. They're in a terrible situation. It's so horrible. And what a picture of the world out there. Here, as I said, they killed a baby and they ate it. And look at the people, the lives out there of people killing babies. They're doing it because they don't have the riches. They're doing it because they don't know God. And we can be worried about the abortion rate that has become so high, and all these things are going on. They're doing it because they're under siege from the enemy. They're doing it because they don't have the riches of Christ Jesus. They've not found something good. And so they're in a desperate state of moral degradation, and they don't know how to behave because they feel that they don't have anything. And people killing babies that they might pursue some kind of career or some kind of life that they think is going to satisfy them. And I wonder if we are put to shame today ourselves by people who've got these good tidings. And the lepers had these good tidings, and they went back and told them. And you see, the people in the city, they grasped hold of it. They were a bit sceptical to start with, weren't they? I didn't read on into it, but the king says, well, it might be a trick. We're not sure if this is true. Let's send some people out just to see what's happened. And they go out and they find the camp, as the leper said, it's abandoned. And they go a bit further and they say, oh, the people ran away, dropping their things as they went, dropping, oh, I can't run with this garment on, I'm going to throw this cloak off and all it is. And they've scattered it. And they say, it's true. What the lepers have told us, it's true. And they believe. Apart from the chap we know who didn't believe and got trampled on in the rush. But they believe. And in their excitement, they run. They run to find these good things once they have been alerted. Hallelujah. And we'll find as we go out and we share the gospel with the lost, there will start to be a skepticism. People will say, well, this might not be true. This might be a kind of a trick. But then as they start to discover that it's true, you've got to believe there'll be a rush. You know, when people are really finding the good things of God, when people really find that the gospel is true, there starts to be a rush, there starts to be a momentum. You find this in times of revival. Yes, there's the spiritual side, when God moves. But it also leads to a momentum that in a sense is beyond just the moving of God. There is a momentum because it starts. You know, whenever you find a revival starts, it builds momentum. And people hear about the revival. And they hear that people believe. And because they hear that people are getting saved, they get saved. It's the way it always is. I think of the move of God in the gypsy community in the past few years. And if you start to talk to people in the gypsy community, they know that something is happening. There's a tremendous momentum. There's a tremendous excitement in the gypsy community because they hear someone has got hold of the Lord. They've got the Lord in their lives. And that person is excited. And that person has their life changed. And so other people hear. And then they come to the meeting and they get saved. And so there is a momentum, there's a rush. And you see, we have to go back to the city to share the word, believing that there will be a rush. That one day the momentum will come and it won't just be the odd person getting saved as it has been here. There has to be a rush. When revival comes, there has to be a rush, there has to be excitement. And suddenly, if you think how it was, we had four lepers who had received the good things to start with. Just four of them. And you've got all these people who have not. But in a very short space of time, they've all received the good things. Apart from the one person who didn't believe it was possible. And so this is the exciting thing. We've already heard that if we do not faint in due season, we will reap. And this is the excitement. The one thing that we must never do is give up. The one thing we must never do is give up. Because sooner or later we're going to reap if we keep going. And I just want to draw us back to these lepers. Because you see, the fact that they are lepers didn't stop them going back to the city. And you see, we have these riches. We have these good things. We have the good things of Christ to tell people about. But you see, the one thing that will really stop us will be looking at problems that we have and looking at problems that we have as an assembly. You see, we're not perfect. We know we're not perfect. Every one of us here has got issues. They may be not very evident to us ourselves, but if anyone else were to, if we were to give them the opportunity, if we say, okay, it's open season on my character, who would like to point out some faults? Everyone would have something to say. At least they'd have something they were thinking. I can see one or two issues with you. It's how we are. We all have issues. There's no one here without some issues. I just think of, you know, how we can be awkward, or I was just thinking this morning,
Even in small things like the way you say goodbye to someone on the phone. You know, in England we have this kind of thing, this procedure that we go through when we say goodbye to someone. In Uganda, when you finish speaking, when you finish what you want to say, you just end the call. There's no goodbye or anything. You just say, I won't be coming today. And that's the end of the call. But in England, you go through this whole rigmarole. And you say, okay, well, it's been nice talking to you. And hopefully see you again soon. And then they say, yes, hopefully it won't be too long again. And then you say, all right then. And they say, okay then. And you say, take care. And they say, all right then, take care. Bye-bye. And I sometimes think, you know, I have my autistic moments, and I end it too abruptly, and I'm sort of saying, all right, then thanks a lot, bye. And they're still in the midst of the take care, all the best, and all this kind of thing. We have our awkwardnesses at times. We make mistakes in our relationships with people. We have failing characters. We're not perfect. We're, as it were, lepers. And if we look round in this assembly, we can see that person's a leper. They've got things wrong with them in their characters. They're not perfect. Every single one of us is like that. Every single one. But you see, if that were to stop us proclaiming the gospel, if that were to stop us joining together as a team to proclaim the gospel, all is lost. You see, the four of them, there seemed to be a kind of a unity amongst them. It wasn't one said, I'm a leper, I'm not going back. I had to be outside the kingdom, I had to be outside the gate. It wasn't very nice for us, was it? Let's just enjoy this. It was too much for them, and they knew if they didn't go back, something would happen to them. They needed the other people. You see, if the other people came and joined them, yeah, they would have to share all these riches. Well, there was too much for them anyway. But if the people came out and joined them, they would be surrounded with more people who would take care of them. And we need people. Amen? We need people. We need other Christians to join with us for fellowship. But you see, if they had stopped and thought about the problems that they had, thought about what was wrong with them, they would never have gone back and given the good news to the people. And that is the bottom line. And we know there are problems with each one of us. Of course there are. We are saved sinners. Saved sinners. We're not going to have that perfect character until we get to glory, are we? When we get to glory, no one can say, oh, they're a bit funny in this way, they're awkward when they end their telephone calls. That won't happen there. But right now, each one of us has these issues, and these issues will irritate people. We will irritate each other. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and in their church, they don't like anything too kind of exciting. They like everything very quiet and measured and orderly. Now, those of us who like a bit of passion, those of us who get excited when we preach, when we go in there, it's, I want to get excited. I want someone to get excited. But maybe people come in here and hear us preach in a more animated fashion. And they say, no, I get so excited. But we all have our different characters. And we just have to understand that God has put us as a team here together. Why? To preach the gospel. Why? To preach the gospel. That's what we're here for. And so I just want to encourage us that we have something wonderful to share with the lost. We have something so much better than a camp that is empty of people and full of riches. We have the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that will change a person's life now and mean that they spend eternity in paradise. And isn't that worth us overlooking the fact that we're lepers? That our brethren are lepers? We have things wrong with us. And let's just get down to the work of spreading the gospel. And just in concluding, if every church, as already been said today, if every church would stop worrying about small things and get out and preach the gospel, the nation would be transformed. May God give us grace just to look to him and see the gospel is about him. I'll just say one little story before I finish. I may have mentioned it before. Probably have quite recently, I don't know. But my uncle, who was a street preacher for many years in Bath, he was preaching the gospel one day and someone was heckling him, and he said, "You're useless. You're a useless preacher. You muddle up your words. You're absolutely hopeless." My uncle said, "I'm not trying to tell you about me. I know I'm hopeless. I'm telling you about Jesus Christ, and he's perfect. I'm not preaching about myself." And that's the message we have to proclaim. We're not perfect. We have nothing to boast of ourselves, but we have one to boast of. That's Jesus Christ, who's got everything right, and he's died for the sins of the people. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that we have a perfect gospel to proclaim, of a perfect Saviour who has died for needy people. May we have faith to lay aside criticisms of ourselves, criticisms of other people, that we might go out in faith to those who are lost and in need. We know that sin must not remain in us, but the characters that you're still working on need not be a hindrance for us to go and proclaim the gospel. Help us, Lord, to have such compassion on the lost that we go out with zealous hearts to win the lost for you, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.